That's with y'all. We gonna keep the nigga in jail. That's with y'all. Yeah, we let y'all out, but we gonna keep the nigga to show him, nigga, which side you gonna be on. You gonna be with us? Be him. All right, hold him, man. He ain't got no bar. We tell Bond.
Yeah, he ain't got no bond. We good, boss? Balls. Nice. Balls. Hey, boss. Where you going? Here. We good. You the whole tight for me, big dog. You the whole tight real quick.
Yeah, we finna actually give you a bond court date. Everybody else, y'all go. Come take these pictures, fingerprints, and y'all going about y'all bending. But you, yeah, you got to sit, man.
Everybody roll in and out, man. Trump came deep as hell. Trump came, bro, with a brigade, boy. Trump came with like a motorcade of like 60 vehicles, no cap. Man, so around the corner, you know, did his shit. Trump said, man, I'm rich, man. I had time for this bullshit.
Well, you know, he has to roll like that because, remember, he had Secret Service with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So everybody keeps saying, well, why he has? I say, well, he was the former president. He got to have Secret Service.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's for life. Yeah, that's so for life. Yeah.
People like, he ain't going to jail because he has Secret Service. Secret Service is not finna be allowed in jail because they carry guns. What they gonna do? Like, how you gonna? I'm like, man, how is Secret Service gonna be watching him in jail daily? Unless, like, they have to build him his own facility. I mean, like, then it's like, why put him in jail anyway? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I'm assuming, like, if he get convicted, then I guess he'll be stripped of all of that. If he actually get convicted of the crime.
Remember, he's still holding on to a secret that don't nobody else supposed to know about. Trump being Trump, do some Trump stuff. Like, oh, y'all want to lock me up? Oh, okay. All right, no problem, man. Let me. Oh, yeah. Hey, boss man, when you getting out, relay this message to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to shoot you some. Relay this message for me. I mean, yeah. I just know Trump is just an asshole. So.
That's fact. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to do it too, though, up on him. You know what I'm saying? I got that kind of power. Everybody kiss my ass. I don't care who like me or who don't like me. And I push the button in this motherfucker. I tear everything up around this bitch. Y'all better play nice. You know, this shit just be formalities, man. You know, as we know, man, money talk, bullshit, run a marathon. Yep. Man, you're going to be running all damn day. I know y'all want that man locked up. Those who do, you know, we got some who don't. I really don't care. You know, like,
yeah, it don't matter to me. I'm just laughing at it because I'm like, damn, this actually did happen. Like, I never thought a president could go through this, but I'm like, oh shit, okay, it's happening.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing about it is like the T-shirts and shit that's getting ready to come out. You know, like, you know, Supreme gonna make one, and they gonna put the little band across his eyes. Fucking West Side Gun probably going to use that as his album cover.
Album cover, yeah.
Mixtape, something like that, you know what I mean? Which is fire. It actually is fire because it's like, you know, we talk about the corruption all the time within the government, but nothing don't ever happen. And again, it's not really going to turn into nothing, but, you know, at least it was an arrest. Y'all going to have to live with that. Y'all had to live with an arrest. All the people have been praying for Trump to get locked up. Yeah, after year after year, hang it up, bro. It's the best you're gonna get.
Yeah, I think the only way he will be convicted and thrown in jail will be like everybody has to really turn on him and say, yeah, Trump is he did it.
And that's a big everybody.
You know what I'm saying? It's people gonna die, they gonna die on that line. They gonna be like, man, what? What y'all got going on?
You look at look at the Epstein shit. All them people implicated in that Epstein shit, right? How much you done heard? Nah, I'm not a damn word because too many big names implicated on there. Number one, you got the Clintons on there. So once you got the Clintons, that's going to clean up a lot of, you know.
Everything, basically.
Yeah, that's going to kind of make everything go away. So that whole thing. I mean, even the woman, Jesseline or whatever her name was, she did her thing. I don't even think she really got whooped too hard, really. I don't forgot because they done kind of, you know, her whole story kind of disappeared.
Yeah, she got some time, but
they hit her with some numbers, but still, like, ultimately, it wasn't what a lot of people would have thought of. And I think they had done already distracted us with something else by then. So by the time you look back up, you like, wait, now, what happened to the Ghislaine Maxwell chick? What happened there? Yeah, let's see. They gave Shorty, they found her guilty of sex trafficking in 2021. And child sex trafficking and other offenses in connection with deceased financier and convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein in June 2022. She's in prison, New York County, to 20 years in prison. So 20 years. They probably give her some time, sir, while she was locked up. And, you know, this is her first offense and shit. So she probably do a total of 12. Something like that. She still would be, you know, she'd probably get out alive. She's 61 now, so she do like 10 more years. Yeah, 71. She might make it. She might make it back on the other side. She a piece of shit.
Man, they be giving them numbers you could actually look forward to, man. And
you can do that.
Nigga get caught with some dope. They be giving niggas what a football number. Hey, man.
99.
Yeah, you 30 years, boy. You got to do a hundred yards. Like, what? Count to that, man. You is tripping.
Yeah, they hit us across the head, man. Dope sell itself, man. I just gave it out. You know what I'm saying? They gave me the money, bro. Ain't forcing nobody.
And I'm like, how you, to me, and this was just my logic of always of drugs. Why are you punishing the dude who's selling the drugs? All he's doing is offering something that you guys are going to offer anyway.
It's like, yeah. Like, but that's why you kind of answer your own question, because they can't tax it. Exactly. That's basically it. Like, you're not going to get they put the facade on, they care. They don't give a shit about a junkie. They don't care nothing about that, bro. It's just that any money getting made, I want mine. You know what I'm saying? It's mob shit. It's extortion. That's all it is. Like, oh, you're not finna get out here and get this money without me. You crazy.
I found out by a dude I know. You know, he an undercover agent, and he was telling me, he was like, man, you know the difference between hardcore illegal drugs and legal drugs. He was saying the legal drugs, they'll sell it, and then if they become addictive, they could make more money by giving them legal medicine to get off the drug.
Yeah.
And I like, oh, okay, so that's where it comes from right now, because you can't, you know, just say coke. I mean, you could be addicted to coke, but it ain't going to damage your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So they're going to say, well, you just a cokehead. Bye. Right. These kids be on the opium and all them pills and stuff. Oh, they're addicted. Their life is damaged. Let's put them in rehab. Rehab costs money.
Mm-hmm.
It costs money, all that. So it's like they continue to make
money.
And
then they got the drugs in rehab to help you come off the opioids. So they give you, you know, the substitute dope, you know, to help you come off of that. So they got more money right there too. It's always going to be about the money, man.
Always about the money.
Anytime you confuse, I just say go follow the money. That's what I tell myself every time. I don't get it. I'm like, wait a minute. Who make money off of this? How is there being profits generated? And once you get that in your head, start doing a little research, you'll be like, oh, okay. Now it makes sense. Because buddy over here got to get his. And, you know, so it's just like the food we eat. The food we eat make us sick, and then they sell us the medicine. It's all in conjunction.
Oh, yeah, all in.
It's all hand in hand. Because, you know, we've been doing it too long. And, you know, we don't grow our food, man. And, you know, this food they got out here now got 38 chemicals in it, and you thought you picked up a can of corn.
That's why they want them as our 40 acres, huh? They're like, oh, yeah, we don't want y'all. We want food and having farms. We want to sell y'all this shit. So
yeah. Hell, even that's the crazy thing, too. Like, even when you say you want to go grow your food, you have to make sure with the seeds. Because the seeds will be modified already, so, like, they'll grow faster and stuff like that. So even that you got to keep an eye on. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a process all around, man. It's a process all around.
And then they say, oh, we got to go to y'all backyard and spray back there. What the hell you need to spray back there? I done sprayed it already.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yours all natural. You like, nah, I already sprayed mine with the peppermint oil and lemon or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? To keep the bug off. Nah, you need this kind. Like, oh, okay. That's what we doing. them people will press the button anytime they want to, man. That's why I always think funny when people be like, oh, they'll never take my gun. Yeah, because they don't want to. If they ever decide they want to, they're never going to because there's too much money in guns. There's more guns in America than people, and it's a highly profitable industry. So they're never gonna do that. But to think that it got something to do with you, you got to be the most delusional son of a bitch around anymore.
Come on, man, they got more. If you think they got more guns than we think, even think, you know what I'm saying? So that's just dumb. For one, for two, it's like. In the black neighborhood, they like, well, shit, let them have guns, because guess what? They gonna shoot themselves. That's all they gonna do. You know what I'm saying? The less we gotta worry about, you know what I'm saying? They take themselves out. I mean, you know, then like you say, it's a money factor. They got the black market where they could get, where you could go buy illegal guns. Okay. That's why I keep telling people, they talk about old gun laws, stricter, this and that. I'm like, man, look. As long as it's something called you could buy under the table, man, they is never going to be an opportunity for you not to have it.
Right. That's the bottom line, yeah, because you're right. They talk about strictness of laws, because people bring that up and say, well, how come there's so much gun violence in Chicago and they got really strict gun laws? It's because in Chicago, it's such a gang culture that you don't care about legally owning no weapon, bro. You worrying about surviving. So you don't care about the consequences of the gun law. And you can get it, like you say, under the table. I don't have to worry about going through the legal procedures. The bottom line is there's a gun out there that could be sold. And if there's a gun out there that could be sold, I could buy that gun and I could protect myself. So that's what I'm going to do. So the only way you get rid of gun violence is to get rid of guns altogether. It's never going to be about how strict the laws are, because if I'm an outlaw, meaning I live outside of the law, I don't care about the law.
I don't care about the law anyway. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Look, man, ain't them kids in Chicago ain't waiting until they 18, 21 to get guns.
Nah.
13, 14, 15, carry around big guns. So what gun laws are y'all talking about? Strict, like to be stricken for what? Like y'all just wasting money on a thing that ain't going to matter because the gun's going to be sold.
Yeah, that's a fact.
They mess around. I remember I read something back in, a couple years ago where they found the big, and this is, I mean, they got this in movies and stuff. They found the big truck with guns and they put it in the hood. And guess what they did? Them hood niggas got them guns and they, I mean, so it's like, who can you charge? Because for one, you can't really trace back where the guns come from. When they found out where they came from, they were like, oh, these guns ain't even from the state of Illinois. These guns are from another state. Oh, they just dumping them. There you go.
Oh, that's crazy, bro. Oh, damn. Where the guns come from? The White House. Oh, shit. I know. Remember the riots where the bricks was just out there?
Yeah.
Stacks of bricks. Like, yo, where these bricks come from?
Coming from, man. It's crazy, man, because you know I studied the Black Panthers a lot, man, and anytime one of them wrote something, they basically told you, like, well, look, the government is finna drop it off to you. You don't need to go nowhere. You stay in the hood, they gonna come get to you. But they gonna say, we don't know how I got there.
Yeah.
how the drugs got there, we don't know. But somehow it's there. How these guns got there, we don't know. Somehow it's there.
Yep. Don't fall for the flim flam. Anyway, man, let's get into a little football talk.
What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees, your Miami Hurricanes Barbershop Talk. It's your guy, Larian, pulling back up like I left something on the counter. Don't y'all hate when that happened? That shit the worst. You know, hop in the car, you ready to slide, and I be down. I left something, so you got to run up, run back in the crib, or run upstairs, whatever the case may be, and go get your keys, or whatever, or not your keys, hopefully. I don't see how you got in the car, but something you left. You know what I'm talking about. Anyways, I'm Batman. We getting ready for the season to kick off. We working a little two-man weave right now. Here with the field general himself, Mr. Make It Happen. Mr. Strip Club on a Tuesday. Why not? You know what I'm saying? My boy, hey, what's up, bro?
What's up? What's up? What's up? What's popping, man? We back. It's football season. So, Strip Club's going to, they slowing down. They slowing down because I got to work a lot now. But
yeah,
I'm still, you know, ducking the dog.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Back. It's football season, man. I'm so excited. Got a chance to watch football yesterday.
Yep.
Went out to a high school game, but it was too hot. I couldn't stay. I don't know what we're gonna do with the heat, boy. The heat, that thing, but burning you like almost felt like a iron is on your body. Like,
cause look here, global warming is real. Okay, nobody say it couldn't have been as hot when I was little. Couldn't have been.
Oh man.
It's the next level now. It's the next level of heat out there now. Yeah, I watched a little bit of ball yesterday. You had the Notre Dame and Navy game in Ireland. I caught that one. I caught it from the second half, which sucks. It was already over by then anyways, but you know, it was just something to do while I was sitting around the house for a little while, kind of just vibing out. So
yeah, that
chilled
game
at the crib. That game was over.
It was over once.
They flipped the coin.
Yeah, by second quarter, it was done. They trying to promote Notre Dame like they do every year. Oh, well, goddamn, they played Navy, so I don't know how much can be.
Yeah.
they look good. Nah, that's Navy.
Yeah.
I'm saying
Navy, everybody know Navy is like small ball. You know, they're athletic guys, obviously. They, you know, they're soldiers. But you're talking about small ball, man. So they got bullied up front early and often, and it just kind of, you know, knocked that game out of the way real fast.
The one thing I did enjoy when I did catch, I was like, oh, I realized Al Gordon was Notre Dame defensive coordinator. I was like, well,
yeah.
Stop the run. This still got the linebacker landing up 10 yards in the middle of the field. Well, you go run the ball against Notre Dame, that's for one.
You know, hey, so listen, Jack, I ain't gonna hold you, boy. I had like PTSD, you know, little moments of I heard the name. I ain't lying to you because I had forgot too. So I'm watching the game. I just hear him say, you know, defensive coordinator Al Golden. Not who? What are you doing here? I said, oh shit. Oh, okay, that's not my team. It's not my team. Oh Lord, please. And I always talked about Al saying, I think I would love Al Golden, the guy. I really do. I think the guy would seem like a guy I would really appreciate. But I don't want him coaching my team on shit. Please get him around me.
Yeah, he really cares about his players, man. But
right
at a point, you got to have that alpha in you where you be like, yeah, I care about you, but I'm going to beat your ass too. You know what I'm saying?
I think he's in a good fit too. We said that, you know, way back when it was rumored that he might get the Penn State gig, remember, you know, when he was coaching us and, you know, we had all the sanctions and shit and it was rumors that, you know, yeah, he may end up at Penn State. You know, we said it back then. Yeah, that's more his fit culturally.
Yeah.
The style of football they play up there, that would be a little bit more. So I think he found a good fit for him.
Yeah. He's more of a traditional coach, you know what I'm saying, for like a program like that.
Right, right.
Miami was just too much for him, you know what I'm saying? Miami was just too much for him. He just ain't have, you know, the Miami swag, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it's a culture clash. That do matter. It does matter. Like being able to kind of, you got to remember now, like you say he cares about these guys, but how much can he relate? How much is he really in tune and in tap with the culture, you know, because one thing we always try to do is you know, Hurricanes football and it is try to control a lot of the homegrown talent, right? You want to try to, you know, specifically be speaking on like the skill position, your wide receivers, your running backs, your DBs, you know, defensive ends, that's kind of where, you know, Miami, South Florida thrives. Oh, also your linebackers. You know, and then when you get down to the interior defensive line, there's a guy here, there, or the, you know, and we're not necessarily known for the O-line type production, but you still talk about a hell of a lot of production right there that you try to keep home. Well, it's kind of important that your coach has a grip and an understanding of the culture of these young men, where they're coming from, because they're coming from the Jets. You know what I'm saying? They're born and bred around a certain, you know, in them bricks. And, you know, a lot of kids, I grew up around that. So these kids are good kids, and a lot of people won't view them that way or understand them in a certain way because, you know, they tatted up and they got a mouthful of goals or whatnot. And, you know, they got their locks hanging down. And these are some great kids, man. They just have a different culture. Some people just view it differently. So
yeah.
That was good about getting Mario back home is he is from the soil. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You know, he's a Cuban guy, but he also played on them teams. So he know what it was like to play on them teams with them boys out of Jets. So he knew how to blend it all together. So I think that was one reason he was a great fit for us as a team. I think culturally he'll understand how to bring you know, all these kind of different pieces together and get a cohesive team because he was a part of that.
Yeah, he knows how to build a team. You know, he knows how to build a team. And that's why, you know, when he got here, he understood, like, yeah, this was going to be a challenge, but this is something that he wanted to do. It wasn't going to be no 1 year, 2 year thing. It was like, okay, I got to really destroy what everybody know about Miami and then recreate it. You know, so.
And we don't want to hear this, fans. I get it. As a fan,
you want to all you
care to win.
Win. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I tell people, I say, man, look, just look at it like this, man. Last year is over. You know what I'm saying? Just get it out your head. Let everybody talk about it. Who cares? It's 2023. You hope that the season is a whole lot better than last year. That way you could start building on something toward the future. You know what I'm saying? Now, right. He has another shitty season there. Okay, yeah, you know what I'm saying? But
and even then, you might well still sit down because he ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, he ain't going.
So just be a fan. Just buckle in. Hey, let me tell you something. You going to lie to yourself just like I lie to myself. Man, I ain't watching this shit next year. Fuck the bullshit. I'm going to be right back next year. T-shirt on, hat on. At least watching it on TV if I don't pull up. You know, like I said, this year I'm blessed to be, you know, 3 hours away. So I will be able to pull up to more games. I was coming to the Ohio game, Miami of Ohio game, but I didn't realize it was Friday.
Said it right, Ohio, the team from Ohio.
Yeah.
We not finna do this.
They know better than that. But I hope that, you know, the good thing about that game, honestly, is I'm gonna learn so much about this team in that game. And people are like, well, you know, this is kind of a scrub opponent. Okay, cool. Are we gonna bury him? Are we gonna destroy them for even making any comment about being the real Miami? Oh, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's gonna tell me who this team is very quickly. Because we should stump them out. I'm not saying they shouldn't even score. But if we're really ready and we're really serious about playing big boy football, the final score of this game should probably be something in the tune of 45-13.
I don't even want to give them 13. I think if this go 13, unless it's like late fourth quarter, 13 points. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, we done pulled some guys, and you know they. You know, maybe we score another three because we're taking it easy, 48-13, something like that. Yeah. Maybe Jakari's getting some snaps.
Just going over the roster, I see their depth chart, and it's like, okay, I look at the O-line. The O-line is tall. Like, I'll give them that. They tall, but they not athletic. They slow. They receivers from last year, I think the most receiving yards they got coming back from last year is like 100-some yards. I think the same with the running back. You know, both quarterbacks, they're not good. Now, defensively, they were decent. But, again, like, I just don't think this team should be on the field with us, you know. So, it should definitely be, like, 45, maybe 10, late 10 points. But we'll see. Like you say, you will learn a lot about this team.
Yeah, we're going to learn a lot.
ready to take series.
Especially because our O-line is so improved that I don't think they'll have one position of like on the O-line. Like we should just dominate. We should be able to get out there and just do what we want to do offensively and set the pace, set the tone. I honestly think the first drive, I'm going to say it, you know, it's kind of, we're going to do a little bit, first and foremost, just so you guys know, so before we get off into a little bit of a tangent, this show, we want to do a little bit of a season preview, you know, maybe a couple of superlatives about, you know, most improved player, you know, rookie of the year on offense, defense, that type deal, getting into a little bit of a preview. We're not going to break down on Miami, Ohio, just because, be honest with you, we ain't going to know them like that. And, you know, we didn't have a guest to call up, you know, but we, you know, we could very much so possibly get that knocked out for some other teams. I'm going to try to reach out to Texas A&M, see if I can get a beat writer for Texas A&M, that type deal, guys that are familiar with the squads. But, yeah, we're going to get a little bit of that, you know, some superlatives, some predictions, maybe an overall record prediction. We may wait a little bit. Today we is just me and X. D Rob's in the middle of transitioning into Virginia. Meezy is in a shootout, I think, somewhere on a highway in the Northeast. He out there. He said the blicky was popping off. So send thoughts and prayers to my boy. You know, I told him, listen, the bullets will pierce the door. Don't believe the movies. So keep it moving, spin, roll, and fire back. He may pull up. We don't know, but he told us he was in the middle of a shootout. And then Maul is on daddy duty, may pull up later on. So we may skip season predictions for right now. But we're going to get into a little bit of just some of the other things we think going on. Some commitment talks. We'll speak briefly on the commitment whip. I'm going to get on out of here, man. But anyways, so yeah, the you know, that game, like I said, should give us a barometer of how much the attitude and the culture has changed. If we're you know, it's not gonna just change overnight, it's not gonna change in one season per se. And even if it does, let's say we really get a new mindset, okay, awesome. It's still gonna rely, talent is still gonna have to win the games as well. So, that's a team that pencil us in for the win, obviously, but how big will we win? You know, cause hey, we penciled in Middle Tennessee last year, right? And we lost. So let's see what team we got this year, man. And see how they kind of pull up. So let's circle it back a little bit. Let's get it to, we had a commitment. We're recording here Sunday early afternoon. So this is, you know, obviously the day after two big announcements. I was a little, I guess a little shocked. I wouldn't say totally shocked about the results. Cause you know, I heard through some back channels how one of the commitments was going to go. The other one, I was pretty sure how it was going to go. So let's go. I guess, hey, let's start with the, we'll start with the bad news. We'll start with David Stone. 5-star interior defensive lineman.
Best D tackle in the nation. Whatever you got him at is, you know,
it's just facts.
Like I said, it's three of them that are top dogs. You got Aiden Braden, David Stone, Justin Scott. I think David Stone is one. You know what I'm saying? And then you could go Braylon or Scott, two or three.
Right.
So it's definitely a miss. It's a miss. You know what I'm saying? It's a miss. To be truthful, man, Miami was supposed to be the pick. That's just the guy on the truth there. He eventually wanted to do something by himself, you know, solo. It was like, man, you know, once – the mom told him, you know, you are allowed to make the decision by yourself. You don't really need to make it because of us. he made his decision there. Because it was Miami. It was all Miami. It was all Miami. And I'm telling you, it was Miami for a long time, but it was just like him personally, he wanted to stay home and play for Oklahoma.
Yeah. And you know, you gotta respect that. That's what we want our guys to do, right? So you can't necessarily get mad at a kid that's staying home. You have to applaud the job that, you know, this staff did and will continue to do. So that's the other thing you guys have to remember. The recruitment is not over. The recruitment won't be over. And I think because of the relationships that Mario builds, I don't think these kids will ever just hang up on him.
Nah.
Look, they may never change their mind, but they'll always answer coach call because coach always was, you know, a real one with him.
Well, you know, after the commitment, man, you know, Mario is the first guy that to call and text people and congratulate them. Like, man, hey, you know, congratulations. You know what I'm saying? Whatever decision you make, I support you fully. You know, that's not going to stop Mario from recruiting him, but one thing it ain't going to do is make Mario turn into a bitter girlfriend. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And look, whatever you need. You know what I'm saying? You need some, you need information. You need advice. I'm here. You know what I'm saying? Whatever school you want to, it ain't just about you coming to Miami. You know what I'm saying? Because in the day, these are young men trying to become men.
Right. And that's what a lot of people lose sight of, man. You're talking about 17, 18-year-olds. He's a very young guy, man. You remember you was 18. I was a dummy. You know what I'm saying? A smart dummy, but a dummy. You know what I mean? There's a lot I didn't know at that point. And you have to remember as well, he's at IMG. So Mario's going to be on campus, you know, checking out other talent. It's very close.
I got worried he will be visiting to some games down here also. So it's like,
yeah,
it's not like you say, it's not over. It's not over till that paper goes in the fax machine.
Absolutely.
And, you know, again, like I say, I was the shock part about me was the fact that I knew where the family wanted him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just like, okay, we got the family. It's different if you say, okay, well, I got the mom, but the dad not on. I got the mom, I got the dad, and I got the grandma, and I got the rest of the family too. Like,
yeah,
the whole family. So it's like,
I'm gonna tell you where I think this went to, man. I honestly think it went to the homie, Jaden Jackson. I think, you know, those boys are pretty tight. And I think that's kind of what swayed the vote. However, remember, like I said, we still got to follow his recruitment. He's still tight with a lot of guys on our squad now. So, like X just said, he's pulling up to some games. I would imagine you'll probably see him at, like, two games. And that's going to kind of maybe play in his mind as well. Like, damn, look at my dog out there doing this thing. Damn, bro, I kind of like it in Florida. So, I don't think this one is over. I don't think you could just close the door on this one. I'm not telling you I think he ends up with Miami. I think that Miami will continue to be on his mind until signing day. I don't think this is a situation where there's a lot of times I feel like, yeah, that's done. You know, Justin Scott, perfect example. Like, I thought we did an awesome job there, but I don't have any hopes of Justin Scott even thinking of Miami no more. I think he did his thing. I think he actually pulled off a nice little South Florida flim flam on us, man. Got us. And
yeah, he's another that I don't think is over with either. I don't think that one is over.
I'm gonna go opposite on that one. I think that one's over.
Yeah, the only one I know is over is the Colin Simmons. I know that's done. Justin Scott one, I mean, this is just from what I've been told, you know what I'm saying, throughout is that he's still willing to listen.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if you want to take it for it's not over or it is, but if he's still willing to listen.
If he's listening, that's something, obviously. Yeah.
Never know.
If you're picking up the phone, and that's what a lot of people don't understand about Mario, he builds such respect with these guys that it's so hard for them to be like, I'm not answering, coach. I'm not going to do it. It's very hard. And I think even these kids are starting to understand, you know, because a lot of these kids mature a little quick. You got to remember, an athlete's brain is not exactly like your average average high schooler. These guys are actually, despite the stamp of the dumb jock, you're actually dealing with a lot of intelligent young men who really understand kind of the ins and outs in the business of football. So some of them are going to be like, I'm not going to burn that bridge because, yeah, I might go over here, but you know what? Let me see how this go, man. I might end up calling Coach like, hey, Coach, you got space for me? You know, because he just don't like what his decision was. They understand that that's a real option in this day and age of football. You can go here this year and next year be gone. As quick as that. No problems, no questions asked. You say, nah, you know, I thought this was what I wanted, but I tried it out. Be honest with you, wasn't a great fit ultimately. And I, you know, I'm going to go with my other choice or my second choice and decide to double back and, you know, So these guys are smart in that regards as well. And Mario does an awesome job of making himself the kind of individual that these young men will always want to lean on. Be like, nah, I'm always rock with that guy, no matter what. Even if I never play, you know, he's still connected. You got to remember, this is a small business, you know, and Mario's played it at, you know, coached at Alabama. So he knows all these guys. These guys that people you may not even think. Billy Napier. He know Billy Napier over in Florida. They coach together. Coach together at Alabama. So it's a very small world. So the smart ones want to keep their name clean, their face clean, so that they can always maneuver. Because you never know who you're going to run back into down the line, man. You may be even get to the NFL and 4 years later, like, oh, damn. That's the wide receiver coach. I ain't never pick up the phone for no more.
and just by you saying that, I mean, and we've all heard this, and I heard this personally. We've heard that situations where once the kids do enter the NFL draft, a lot of them get badmouthed because of the situation they did in college. You know what I'm saying? So guess what? You got to keep yourself clean because these coaches are the ones who being talked to once you go to that draft. Hey, what's up with such and such? What's his personality? And how's he like in the team meetings and locker room? And oh well, you know, he's an asshole. He's definitely somebody you don't want in your, you know what I'm saying, your locker room. He's going to destroy that culture. Oh, okay.
Think of a guy like Gerald Willis. Gerald Willis, based on his season, should have been drafted for sure. You know, he ended up not in the league, but he's still trying. He's still trying to get the league. He played, I think he played for, was it the XFL last year? One of the smaller leagues. It was either XFL or the USFL. Can't remember which one it was. But again, he had such a poor reputation. And I think he earned it, in all fairness. I think he was a guy that had some emotional issues and was a little bit extra. And didn't quite figure it out as much until he got a little bit older. But his reduction alone should have got him at least a late draft. Even if he didn't do great at a combine at that time. Gerald Willis was a monster for us. I mean, the guy just destroyed the middle of the field. He should have at least been a 6th, 7th round pick in a team just take a flyer on him. Even though he didn't, you know, maybe do that well at a combine. But he had a lot of red flags concerning his, you know, his past and his young age. You know, he even took a break from us.
Jeff Thomas
is a perfect example. Jeff Thomas was, talent-wise, Jeff Thomas, to me, talent-wise, was like the next Antonio Brown. Younger dude, so fast, good route runner, great leaping ability, awesome hands. Jeff Thomas was a first rounder to me. But then what happens? Jeff's a head case. We heard leading into the draft that I had heard rumor he didn't even show up when he was supposed to go down there and practice with, you know, all the other wide receivers. It was a CD Lamb and all these other guys. They down there, they're doing the work. They got to find him. He got the rental car. He won't bring the car back. Like, this is who this guy was. And it breaks my heart to see him ruin his opportunity because if it don't work out for him, which it probably won't, you know, no hate, but that's just the truth of it, he going to look back at his life and say, damn, I fucked up. If I would have only done this, if I'd have only done that, man, my life would have went so much different. Because I was better than blah, 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 blah. And he wouldn't be wrong. And that's what people better realize. People go, why they in the league? Because the league understand it's bigger than one player. It's bigger than one player. So if you ever think, look at Kaepernick. People go, oh, he wasn't that good. Brother, let me tell you something. I'm a 49ers fan. He wasn't that bad either. And we seen a lot of terrible quarterbacks hanging that lead for 12, 14 years, wearing a baseball hat and a clipboard, clean shirt. Cap got kicked out because he didn't play by the rules. And the rules are going to apply to a wide receiver, especially a Jeff Thomas. Man, you 5'9", 5'10". Now, you're a hell of a baller, but we can get another one of you. That's how they're going to look at you. The league is bigger than a guy. So, you know, that's how these situations end up turning out, where some talented guys don't end up going on to the next level. And you know, these guys, like I said, burn bridges. But Mario's done a good job of keeping that type of stuff going. So we'll go to the positive. And that's the big positive, especially at a position of need. We were able to secure a commitment at the safety spot in Zaquan Patterson.
Zay in fold, man. I mean, okay, so, you know, Wednesday I did the space and I told everybody, you know, things weren't looking good for both. But then after that, on the same day, I got the call from, oh, man, what you mean things ain't looking good for Zay? Zay coming to Miami. I'm like, okay, well, I just was wanted to put that out there, you know what I'm saying? But then I couldn't say nothing. So Friday night, I got the call about, yeah, man, that's a Miami thing. So just, you know, don't say nothing, but it'll happen tomorrow. So then I'm like, all right, we just chill, you know what I'm saying?
Vibe, yeah.
But again, like I say, I was always confident that Zay was going to be a Miami Hurricane, even though I say if he did commit, whatever school he committed to, he wasn't going to sign to. That's why.
That's right. Yeah, man. I will stand by that. He definitely told us that.
Yeah, so it's like, if he committed to whoever, like, he ain't going to sign to them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Coaches wanted to get it out of the way. But by him committing to Miami, it was like, that was the final straw. You know what I'm saying? Because mom wants him to Miami. You know what I'm saying? And that's how you go with that. But, yeah,
he's talented and he's physically gifted enough to start next year, which is exactly what we're going to need next year at safety. Because the depth there isn't amazing. I need Marquise Williams to, you know, continue to train and work and put on another 15 pounds. But I would be happy. I'm telling you right now if next year, after this season, our starters is Zaquan Patterson and Marquise Williams, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be very happy with the safety room. Safety starters. Let me not say room. I still think we need to add some depth there. But if that's what we run with, I like it a lot. I honestly felt like, you know, because kind of X said it, and it was funny because all the media outlets were like, oh, yeah, you know, Florida State kind of jumped in and took over. And I was like, oh, word, okay. Florida State a little bit late to the party, I thought, as far as, you know, I was more worried about –
Michigan, boy.
Yeah, Michigan had me a little more worried in Ohio State.
Michigan had me stressed. I was like, damn, man, because one of his teammates is committed to Michigan, his 25 teammates, Chris. And I'm like, yeah, you know, but then I got worried about him too. But I was like, well, whatever Michigan do, Michigan does a good job recruiting South Florida kids early. And that's what they've been doing. And that's why Chris committed to them when he was a 10th grader. You know what I'm saying? They've been on Zaquan since he was a 10th grader. So it's like, yeah, they recruited them guys a lot harder than most schools did when they was younger. So they just been, I'm like, damn, okay. You know, but, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, I was like, yeah, Miami gonna be the choice, even though he commits to whoever he commits to on signing day, that paper coming down the car games.
Well, thank God it's us now. I think probably the staff convinced them, listen, man, we ain't going to troll them people right now. We can use a little good look. We getting ready to go into the season. Go ahead and put that up. You know, because Stone, they already know at this point, he done told them probably. He's going to stay home. So it's like, all right, cool, man. You know, we respect it. They probably call Zay like, hey, Zay, man, we ain't gonna be able to play the game again, bro. Go ahead and tell them it's us. I'm sorry, bro. I know we was all gonna have a little fun with it. We were gonna tell little bro and them and Leon that you were coming there. And, but you know,
yeah, that stuff right there. That who's ever putting out information about a certain situation with South Florida kids heading to Tallahassee or Leon County, they gotta stop it because y'all giving the people false hope that just ain't happening. Stop it, please. Well, I ain't gonna say please. Keep doing it. They crazy, but it is what it is. I mean, they like, oh yeah, we gonna tap into the South Florida market and we gonna take all like, okay.
Sound good.
You think? Okay.
Sound good. Hey. Salute them boys and Leon. Great class y'all got there now.
Good class.
Not hating.
Them and the other team. Y'all got some good classes.
Damn so do, man.
Saturday, we gonna see though. You know what I'm saying? Things gonna pop around. You know, we got Zay, man. Zay actually had a game yesterday. He's one of the top teams in the nation, and he was all over the field, man. He was that guy. Like, they won. I ain't going to say they won because of him, but he was the guy that set it off.
You're right.
So, he's the type of player, you know, we had him on the show, and he made the little statement about, man, we want everybody. We ain't ducking nobody. We want all the smoke. We want St. Thomas, but they don't want to put us on schedule. You know, he had that confidence that, you know, you can say, oh, yeah, that's a Canyon right there, boy, because he talking that talk.
Yeah, like it. I really like it. I do. I think he's got the physical gifts and the attitude. I think you're looking at a future NFL player already. I think he's that kind of a talent. I'm very happy he's a King. Very, very happy he's a King. So those are our commitments coming into it. So now we're, you know, what's that? Let me look at the class total real quick. Apologize, I don't have it up. Do you know it off the top of your head, X? What we at, 15?
Yeah, we 15. We got one on the ranking. Yeah, we 15. We were
15. And we are at, let's see.
22.
Commitments total. 22 commitments total. I felt like more like we were going to have a big, big class, like 28.
Yeah, no.
Other people thought 25. Yeah, what are you thinking?
We going 30. It'll be 30 to 31, to be honest.
Okay. Things gonna get that big.
We got a lot of room to go.
Okay.
I mean, okay. So earlier in this week, they put out the Senior Bowl wish list, or you know, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Like 12 or 13 players from Miami.
Right. It was a hell of a lot. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's not to say about the guys who are going to leave early, you know what I'm saying? The juniors or the redshirt sophomores who are going to leave early, and then not to say the guys who are going to just transfer. So you could have another turnover about 30-something players just leaving, you know what I'm saying? So now what you got to do, you got to recruit, and you got to bring in transfer guys. So, yeah, we're going to have a big team. I mean, a big class.
Yeah, that list was fairly extensive. I mean, you had Andy Lee, Javion Cohen, I think TVD,
Cam
Kitchens, James Williams.
Cam and James wasn't on the list. Cam and James wasn't on the list.
They're not on that one? Okay.
Yeah, Restrepo.
Find the graphic.
Yeah, Restrepo on there. You had Harry Terrell.
That's right. Restrepo, yep.
You had, they had Harrison Hunt on there. And I was like, well, I don't know why they put Harrison Hunt on there because he's not. Listed as a senior. Who else they had on there? Old lineman, you know, Mike Matt Lee.
Let's see. I'll get it specifically because I was looking at that a little bit earlier. It shouldn't be too far down in my notes. Let's see. But anyways, I mean, to the point where X is making is, there's a possibility all these guys may or may not. Because, I mean, even like Javion doesn't have to declare next year. He could decide to hang back another year. But chances are he came to be one and done. Came down here because honestly we just offered a better NIL package than Alabama was offering him, and you know, so he came down here, continued to play ball, get his bread, and then go to the league next year. So actually here it is. Tyler Harrell, Devontae Brown, Matt Lee, Tecori Couch, TVD, Branson Dean, Javion Cohen, Akeem Mezador, Xavier Restrepo, Jared Harrison Hunt, Zion Nelson, and Jaden Davis. So, yeah, you know, we got a lot of possibilities there of roster turnover. And I mean, in all actuality, most of these guys, yeah, will probably you know, go ahead and cast their you know, cast their name into the draft.
Yeah, in the draft. Yeah. I mean, from what I've been told, you know, most of the all those names outside of the Jerson Hunt one are they go. You know what I'm saying? They're not coming back. I mean, well, I don't know what's going on with the Zion Nelson, but yeah, mostly all of them are gone, and you just go from there. So again, you know, you just got to keep adding players. Do guess what? The recruiting channel and the portal channel. You just got to keep adding.
No doubt. Let's see. So yeah, that's a great point. Getting into just how big this class could possibly get. You know. Position to be filled, and I think, you know, the class in general is good, is strong. I still expect us to be able to make a few moves if we're able to play some pretty solid baseball. I don't know why I said baseball, bro. If we could play, I mean, we need to play some solid baseball too down there in Coral Gables. I was thinking football, but you know, we'll have to take the time to fill all these spots and get everything, you know, headed toward the future. So, let's get a little bit into the upcoming game. I'll play a little clip for you guys. Let me see. It probably not be the greatest audio, but I'll play it for you. This is from, you know, it's a question asked of quarterback from Miami of Ohio, you know, and they set him up, you know, but what the kid is supposed to say. But let's go down and hear what he got to say.
It's not the same question, but the real Miami is where? Coral Gables or
no, Oxford? Oxford, Ohio.
Because you're around longer, you're just...
No, I just think we'll show them September 1st.
This plays off the same question, but the real Miami...
So, you know, it set young boy up, you know. And, of course, what are you going to say? It's like, hey, you know, the real Miami is in the other school. So, you know, he said that, and I get it. I mean, kid got to say that. It's all good. But, you know, he know better, but I mean, he got to do what he got to do. He ain't getting no Miami offer, but he's the quarterback of the Miami, Ohio. I guess it's just me and X, so, I mean, we aren't going to do a deep dive on this game. I'll be honest with you, it's like Middle Tennessee State. I don't give a shit. We supposed to win. Supposed to win big, and I don't think there's a lot to explore there. I think I spoke on it earlier. I'll circle back. I got us winning that kind of game 48-13. That's what I'll go with.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so I'm not going to go too deep in it, but, you know, I did watch film on them. I watched a couple of their games from last season. And, again, I just don't think this team's supposed to be on the field with us. A score prediction, I think we could score 45 plus, you know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking they shouldn't score 10 at all, you know? So they're not, as physical as you would think a team from that region is. They're not as physical. Quarterbacks, they are horrible. When I say horrible, I mean horrible.
That's funny because that's who talking that shit. It was the quarterback.
The quarterback, like, what are you? And like, you know, you finna get killed this Friday, man. But yeah, they are. Them boys can't throw passes to do nothing. The running game ain't popping on nothing. The receivers, they got one little speedy receiver. He decent, but he, you know, he didn't catch a lot of passes last year. Defensively, they play discipline. That's one thing I say. They discipline on defense. But you still should overthrow them on the offense because they defensive line is small, so you should abuse them there. They got one okay, so no, the one linebacker, I think he left. I don't think he's there. He had over 100 something tackles, like 130 something tackles. So
I think he's out of there. Yeah,
he's gone. So I'm like,
I think we were looking at him, matter of fact, as a possible transfer. Yeah, I can't remember the name though. I remember that, but I do remember him coming up as a possible linebacker, you know, to help. We end up getting Mavigoa, but I know who you're talking about just from, I remember us exploring the option. But yeah, go on, my bad.
Like I say, man, hey, I don't, like you say, it's nothing to really talk about because it's like you should just blow them out and it shouldn't even be a conversation more than 10 minutes. Yeah, it was Miami High. We beat them. Let's go. We got Texas A&M next week.
Yeah, we move on and we worry about A&M where it'll be some bigger boys in them trenches. I don't think it's the best coach team, but they definitely got some talent there. So we'll get to that. But
this game, I'm gonna just be more focused on seeing which true freshmen actually get out there and show us their ability on the college level. Because again, they still true freshmen, regardless of even if they're highly rated or talented. You know, this team got a bunch of grown men on there, 22, 23, 24-year-old players on their team. So,
right.
18-year-old guy, he just supposed to dominate. So I'm interested in seeing which true freshman could go out there and just dominate and say, yeah, well, all right, these are the type of players we got now. We got young dudes who come into college ready.
Yeah, they don't have that body yet. That's the difference. You're right about that. Now, that is the advantage that a lot of those teams have. They would be playing against them, you know. Guys who've been, you know, in the program, gaining weight, paying mortgage, you know, you guys are a little bit different. They're still young, but the difference between the 18-year-old and a 22, 23-year-old could be a world of difference depending on how their lifestyles are. So I guess we'll get into a little bit of just a season overview very early on. By the time we record again, we will have had our first game of the season done. Actually, I think we may actually try to get into a preview. May not do it for Miami of Ohio just because it is a smaller school. I will do my due diligence to see if I can find a beat writer that might want to do a quick little show previewing the game. If I can, I will get that done.
Good luck with that, boy. I done reached out to all of it. Ain't nobody hit me
hard
back.
To hit. Yeah, that's why I figure it's probably going to be tough.
Man, I know y'all got somebody out there, but I guess they like what they want to do on the safer side.
Right. So probably not then, but look forward to as this particular season goes on, we want to do our weekly shows. We also want to do some pre- and post-game shows, some shorter content for you guys, but that'll be real timely and in conjunction with the games that are going on whatever week that is. But let's get a little bit into just
the season
to success. Preview. What's up now?
You said the season preview, right?
Yeah. Let's get a little bit into the season preview as a whole. He's a success. I would say let's do a little of that. And then let's get into just, you know, some of the superlatives. And I'll rattle those off. I don't even have them written down, but we can, I can think of a couple of them to kind of get us into the season. So what do you think will a successful season will be year two under Mario?
Nine plus wins. I'm looking at a successful season and 9+ wins. If you get 8, It's not a failure. It's not a disappointment. But it's not successful. Okay. So I don't know the word that comes in between not and not successful. It's just okay. Yeah, I guess I could say decent.
Right.
But nine plus wins, then depending on who the wins are with, you know what I'm saying, and who the losses are with. You know, obviously you have Texas A&M, you got Carolina, Clemson, Florida State. Those four, I don't know if they want to add North Carolina State because we have beaten them for the last couple of years.
But they'll be a tough team.
That'll be a tough team. I mean, but yeah, I'm just
that'll definitely be a tough team.
Those four teams are the teams that, you know, outside of Florida State, that has been giving us the toughest competition lately. I mean, Texas A&M, we only played them last year. So Clemson and Carolina are the teams that constantly beating us. Mm-hmm. You know, so just say win one out of those two. And then mm-hmm. Texas A&M and Florida State win one out of those two.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So just say if you lose two out of those four games and you can win the rest, you go 10-2. That's a successful season.
Right. Yeah. However, like you just said, NC State could definitely be a slip.
Yeah.
Takes you to 9-3. You know.
Louisville, because Louisville is
yeah, tough. Louisville. I think that was on the road, I believe, as well. Yeah.
It's home. Louisville's home. It's late. It's late. That's our last home game out there. Also. So.
Louisville, okay, Louisville later on. You know what? I'm thinking Temple. I forgot we got Temple, I think September 22nd.
That's why everybody's saying, well, we should be 4-1 or 5-1 by the time we get to Carolina, I think, or something like that. Because you start off with my team from Ohio, Texas A&M, Bethune-Cookman, Temple.
And then you got it right. You got it right.
At the Temple, it is Georgia Tech.
Yep.
So that's right. You say, well, we can kind of set it off right there. Go at least if you go 5-0 right there, then you say, oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? And then the tougher games. Right. I mean, you go 5-0 and just think you got seven more games. You gotta say, well, we gotta win 5 out of 7 for the season to be successful.
That'd be a hell of a year. That'll be a hell of a year. I would say successful to me would be 8-4. A lot of similarities in how you view it. I just think that, you know, if you can get a 3-game turnaround in a season, look decent. You know, everybody knows a loss is a loss, right? Rather, but I mean, let's be honest. If we're talking about the optics to potential recruits, say a Ellis Robinson, say a Jeremiah Smith, there is a difference in losing by 10 and losing by 32. There's a difference. So, to me, success will be measured in 8 wins. I'll be honest. Successful is 8 wins and no embarrassing losses. And I mean, just no Middle Tennessee States, no 8 turnovers versus Duke. You know, no North Carolina running us crazy up out the building. No Clemson dog walking us by 30. Like, if those things happen, I will not call the season successful. I can lose to those teams. I just can't have it be particularly bad on the optic side.
Outrageous. I mean, I'm with you. I'm with you. I keep telling people, I say, man, 8-4, I think, you know what I'm saying, that's where we at, you know what I'm saying? But again, like one thing about it is, you know, we only think about our team. You know what I'm saying? We
right.
Think about the other team. Like the other team has problems too. Everybody got problems. You know what I'm saying? Right. Our big problem last year was injuries, being hurt. You never know. Other teams might have that injury bug. Well, oh man, a certain team might have a certain amount of players that are hurt. And if that happens, maybe we get the sunshine that day. You know, you just never know. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm saying 9+. I'm shooting for that because you just never know what happens, man. I know.
Absolutely.
The team from Leon County, man, they 1 play away from having a horrible season. And they hyping it up, and I'm like, okay, that's great. But don't act like y'all forget about that one season where y'all could have went to the championship, but y'all quarterback got hurt the first game of the season, and that's it. Bummer.
Right. Yeah, you can kill everything. You're right. Don't take much. Yeah, it don't take. You a play away. Most of us are play away, especially when they look at quarterback. You play away from success and or failure. So you know we're not too far off on what success would look like for the season. Get into a couple of superlatives, man. Let's go at I think it's gonna be easy, but let's start it off. Let's go offensive rookie of the year, man.
I mean, do they give it to the offensive line? Because I think that's the only one who's going to play every snap. if you don't give it to Francis, the offensive lineman, then you have to say it's going to be between Mark Fletcher and Ray Ray.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm leaning O-line. You know, like I say, it's rare, but you got to. But when a guy comes in and starts, and it's, let's say Maui Goa starts and has a good year over at right tackle. I think that's his in the bag. I think Ray Ray's gonna get his opportunities, for sure. But I would put second. I would go Fletcher as well. I think Fletcher could have a 8-10 touchdown season. Because he'll get the goal line carries, I believe. And I think he could actually, from the early talks, I mean, we got to see, from the early talks, I definitely think he could come in and have 800 yards. So we'll see if a guy like Don Chaney elevates himself back to where he was, to where he's a little more undeniable. But early returns is, that kid is that guy.
And then you know the one thing with Ray Ray, you got to add that Ray Ray is going to play special teams also. So it's like you add that along with what he does offensively. You know what I'm saying? So just say he gets 300 yards receiving, 4 touchdowns, he might have some great return yardage that helps us win games and stuff like that. So that automatically just say, oh yeah, well he's offensive rookie of the you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Offensive rookie of the year. You know, but again, Francis is going to start at right tackle. He's going to play every play, and he does good. He makes all ACC. It's no doubt about that. He's not rookie. He's probably rookie of the year for the team. Period.
Right. Yeah.
So, but you got to. It's just not the sexy pick to say an offensive lineman is rookie of the year. But hey,
yeah, but
that guy be solid for us. You know what I'm saying? Because that's right. What we most.
Because we got him for 2 more years.
Yes.
And we need, you know, everybody who actually knows football knows that it all starts in the trenches. So, you got to have your anchors there. Let's flip side of the ball. Let's go with defense.
Defense, rookie of the year. I think the only name that makes the perfect sense would be Reuben Bain. Reuben Bain. The only other name you could probably throw out there will be Damari Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Those two are, you know, but Reuben Bain is going to be defensive player. Yeah.
I'm going to go the same way. Y'all know I've been kind of standing on from what I was hearing from camps. If you look at his physical build, if you look at his heritage, you know, he's a football family guy, brothers on the staff. He's just a very, you can tell he's a very mature young dude.
And cousin played for UM.
Right.
Vaso Bain.
Right.
He's just a Hurricane Bain.
Yeah, exactly. That's his nickname. I think this kid, yeah, he's just gonna wreck shit. That's just how I feel. I had him down, put me down for 8 sacks. I just think he's twitched up a little bit undersized, you know, but just I think he's twitched up and technique is far advanced his years. You know, he's a kid that Bama wanted. And when you think about how Bama played, he's not a traditional Bama, you know, lineman. They usually got real, you know, you get these 6'5", 6'6", dudes. But Nick was like, nah, get me him. We're going to figure him out. Yeah, we're going to figure out how to make him work.
He's going to be 14.
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna make out figure out how to make him work. Period. So that'll be my pick. And then runner up, damn, I hate to, but I agree. Possibility is the other Brown, Lil Brown,
yeah,
on the other side of the ball, just because they're already talking about him having an opportunity to start, which is very impressive. Guy that didn't get to get there for spring ball. So it'd be crazy to see him and his brother out there and starting. So I'm going to go there as well. Let's look at most improved player.
Most improved player offensively, probably most. I mean, it's out of Kobe Young and Ja'Cory George. I mean, Ja'Cory George. Those are the two improved offensively. Saying that because both Kobe Young, he lost some weight. He slimmed down a little bit. And then he's running better routes. He's looking like he's ready to take that extra step forward. And the same goes with Ja'Cory George. You know, so got to give it to them. Defensively, I'm gonna have to say maybe Daryl Porter. He's had a great camp so far. I mean, well, camp is over, but he's had a great fall start so far.
I like it.
He's had a great start, a fall start so far. Him, yeah, yeah. I'm gonna say that.
I like it. I'm gonna go offensively. I'm gonna have fun with it. Let's go Don Chaney, man. Let's go Don Chaney comes out. He becomes the guy that I've really championed over the years that I thought could definitely be definitely reminded me of Frank Gore in his game. Injured early, kind of injured often. Let's see if he gets it done at the collegiate level and kind of jumps back into the top of this rotation. Because we're gonna run several backs. So be clear about that. And that's just smart and that's good for their health and their longevity. But I think Don could really bounce back and have an awesome year in a mix with him, a Mark Fletcher, and a Henry Parrish.
You got to throw that at Jai Allen in there, man. That kid.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Yep. AJ yeah. Allen. Yeah. AJ Allen. Yeah. 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 So we'll see. Zaz makes it interesting. Can he, you know, get back at the top of this depth chart? Maybe not. I'm gonna have fun and hope he does.
I think the most important thing with the running backs is who's in the game in the fourth quarter. Who's in the game in the fourth quarter? First quarter, I don't care who starts. Like, that's probably ain't gonna be in the game fourth quarter. That's how I'm looking at it. You know what I'm saying? Who's gonna be the finisher? You know, so I agree. I think Chase, he has the talent. When he's out there, when I'm watching, I'm like, yeah, he has it. He just has to put it all together and be available. Because he gotta be available.
Yeah, availability is your number one ability. And I'm gonna go defensively most improved. I'm gonna go James Williams. I think hopefully James stays healthy this year and really lives up to that five-star billing. You know, they're going to move him around a little more this year. He's going to have an opportunity to be close to the line of scrimmage and a lot of opportunities. He seems to embrace that now more than ever. And I think he'll just get to see his physical talents shine this year under Lance Guidry's defense. So, yeah, mark me down for James Williams, most improved. And we have one of the best safety duos in the country. It makes us dangerous on that on the back end of the defense. So I'm gonna go there for my most improved players. Let's do a couple more. Let's go offensive and defensive MVP.
Offensively, I think it starts with the offensive line. You know, if any of those guys can have an All-American type season, they gotta just get the MVP. Unless TVD just goes out there and lights it up. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna just say what I think TVD will get it. If he, you know, I'm looking for 3,500 yards plus, 35 touchdowns plus. So I'm giving it to TVD. Outside saying I know I'm gonna give it to the offensive line because if TVD have 3,500 plus and 35 plus touchdowns, that means the offensive line is doing the job. So he's got to get to one of those guys. Got it. If it's Matt Lee. Because we've seen that offensive line last year, and it was horrible. They're like, well, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So if I go with TVD defensively, it's going to be between James. Oh, man, I don't even know. It's a toss-up. It's a toss-up, man, because that defense is going to be like that for real. So it's between the two safeties, James Cam. It's going to be between Francisco,
okay.
LT, Najee Kelly, it's names that I'm just throwing that because I'm like, hey, that defense is gonna be like that. So
I like it.
Those guys having a good season, man. We just think you got a good defense.
Nice.
Just give me one name. Yeah, I'm gonna go with James Williams.
All
right. That's been my boy since he was like 5 years up.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I want to see him go out with a bang. I really do.
You just talked about it, saying, look, he shouldn't be roaming around that field, causing havoc.
Yeah.
Basically doing what he did in high school. He's loving it. The team loving it. Man, I can't wait to Friday come. I'm like, man, hurry up.
No doubt. So I'm going to go, let's see, offensive MVP. I'm going to go. You know what? I'll go off the beaten path a little bit because I was going to go TVD as well, but I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to go very unconventional. I'm going to go Andy Lee. I think, you know, just having that anchor at the center position is not going to ever win a position. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just telling you how I would see it as a fan. I've heard tremendous things about just how he's able to view defenses, call out the defenses, help his line get a line, and be ready for that snap. It's going to be tremendous for us because, like X just mentioned, the O-line was garbage. So his addition and his leadership, along with JV and Cohen, is going to be paramount for the success of this season. So, yeah, he's not going to win any awards for offensive MVP. I forget there is an award for like the center of the year, right?
Yeah, I think it's called the. It started with an R, something R. It's one of those funny.
I know the offensive line is like Remington. But yeah, there's another one I want to say that's just for centers. But whatever the case, I'll say he'll be in those conversations. And then defensively, I'm going to go. I'm going to tell you why. Because I think there will be a little bit of trouble with the run. I'm going to go Francisco Maui-Goa as our defensive MVP. And again, this is another guy that came in. And you remember he was a quarterback. So he's a quarterback. Then he goes to Washington. When he goes to Washington State, moves over to linebacker. So now you got a guy that's got great understanding of both sides. Physically gifted kid that moves around really well and came in and secured the spot right off the rip. So I think he's going to be very key in our run stop defense. And I think he's going to end up probably cleaning up a lot of stuff through the middle, especially in the run game. So I'm going to go Francisco Maui-Goa there. All right, we'll do one more. And then let's see if we might have anything else really after that. That might wrap us up for the day. Let's go with a newcomer. That could be freshman, transfer portal, whatever. Like newcomer of the year, just wasn't here last year with us. That you just think is going to also just play a major part.
Newcomer offensively, Javion Cohen. Javion Cohen. I think his experience coming from the SEC helps a lot with the offensive line. So he's basically the guy, you know what I'm saying, you could expect. And I'm saying expect because I expect him to do good things for us.
Right.
Defensively, Devontae Brown. I think, you know, nice. He had a great camp fall. He can hold one side down defensively at cornerback. You know, that kind of helps the rest of the defense. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can rely on that one side corner. All right, now we can do stuff rolling safeties over here.
Right.
Creating blitzes and stuff like that. So those two guys are my newcomers of the year, Devontae Brown and then Javion Cohen.
Nice. Okay, I'm going to go newcomer of the year offensively. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and agree with you with Cohen just because I know that line needed tooling up. Again, echoing same sentiments as you. The guy was starting at Bama. Bama's definitely, you know, known for having top O-lines in the country over the last, I don't know, damn near 20 years. Now, it's been a while. Since whenever Nick got there, that's when that kind of went out the window. And we were able to pluck him away, thank God, due to some NIL stuff. So I'm going to go there. But I'm going to stay in the trenches on the defensive side. I'm going to go Branson Dean. Look like Branson Dean is going to start. You know, he's a older guy. I think he's a six-year guy. A little undersized, but to my understanding, he's just going to be a disruptor. So, you know, we'll rotate in other guys, but I think Branson Dean is going to actually, for him to come in and be an undersized guy and start next to LT is going to it speaks volumes to what he's going to do for this defense. So I think he's going to be a key addition as well. I like the Devontae Brown answer as well. I think that's a great answer for, you know, a secondary that we definitely had. I think our secondary in general is better than it was last year as a collective.
Oh, as a whole, yeah.
Right. I don't know if it's better right now as far as like NFL talent, but as a whole, I think, yeah, we got better.
Just going off NFL talent, you just say outside of Cam James and Devontae Brown, then you're looking at, you know, some players that might not get picked up unless they have great camps or a great season.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three names who you can just say, okay, well, yeah, they'll get picked up. You know, you got Davis and then Tecori Couch. They can get picked up because both can have great combines, you know what I'm saying? So, but they just got to have great seasons also, you know what right. I mean? And, you know, throw in Darryl Porter also too.
Yeah, no doubt. And I, you know, we talked about predictions. I'm going to wait till we get our full lineup back before we get into season predictions. We're going to be 1-0. I'll give you that.
We'll be 1-0. Team MVP as of now, you know, until they prove me otherwise, is Borgalis. He's otherwise. Like, I don't, that's crazy. Our punter and our kicker always the team.
I don't know. We done had some bad punting and kicking, boy.
I mean, for the last three years, our punter.
Oh, yeah. Punting been dope. Yeah, hell yeah, but.
But Gallus and him and his brother, the kicking, I mean, the special teams as far as kicking and punting,
been
on point for the last 3 years.
That's right, yeah. And traditionally, we would probably be the best punting university as well. That as far as like guys that translated over to the league, we would probably be punter you.
Yeah, we punters out there for real. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go team MVP. Let's go. He said a punter.
Yeah, you know, I had to give y'all something to laugh about, buddy.
I'm gonna go.
It's true. The kicking game, man. He was 17-20 last year. So
yeah, let's get it. I'm gonna go TVD, man. TVD gonna have a great bounce back year. He's gonna get back in that first round conversation. And he's gonna be the third quarterback taken this year.
Hey, man.
In the next draft.
Man, that means we having a good season, boy.
That's what I want. That's exactly what I want. I want him to go out there and do his thing, man.
Conference title and all. I guess that's the important thing for certain fans. Oh, y'all don't get no conference championship. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all. Okay.
Yeah, I don't care about that shit. Everybody like, well, you got to do that. I'm like, yeah, but when you so good. You never thinking, oh, well, at least we won the conference. Nobody care about that. Nobody care about that. That's only when you got lucky. Like, Duke won the conference before. Like, oh, we, you know, we split it with Duke or whatever. Like, so it's like, is that really?
No record book saying, oh, well, this is the conference. No, nobody care about
that. Nobody remember that.
Y'all boys, the ultimate goal is what? That last game of the year.
One. The one. Yeah, I ain't thinking about, nah.
We got to let them have it because that's the only thing they got above us.
You're right.
Ooh, whoop-de-doo. Right, okay.
And still ain't got them rings.
Still ain't adding up at the end of the day. But
that's what it is. But hey.
Man, football season is back.
Yes.
1-0 Friday. 1-0, we call it now. We be 1-0. Let's hope these boys go out there, stay healthy, perform good. Hopefully see some of y'all fans out there, man. Let's give them a nice crowd, you know what I'm saying, to cheer on. Just like that, man.
I ain't completely zeroed out. I'm 80% out right now. I'm going to hit my manager up tomorrow and see if I might can flex my schedule. If I might can flex my schedule, yeah, you might see your boy down there. You know, nice little cheap tickets, good tailgate, hanging out. So not 100% out. I'm 80% out right now. Talk to my manager. If he'll let me wiggle my schedule to where I ain't got to come in Friday, I'm going to just pull up, man. It's just something to do. It's a late game, 7 o'clock, nice and sticky out. It'll be fun. But, hey, we thank y'all for tuning in, man. We'll be back. Like I said, look for more content this year. We'll be doing more short-form content, pregame, postgame, things of that nature, and probably drop some. You know, if we got just news we need to get into, we'll drop those midway and just give you guys a little tidbit. So, for D-Rob, Meezy, Maul, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to say peace and blessings from the crew and myself.
We got them 26 degrees t-shirts.
Oh, yes, Sirski. Yeah.
I'm still looking. These people giving me hell with this website, man. Because the thing is, I've had two different websites with them, so they try to figure out like what's going on. And I'm like, no, it's a whole new thing. I'm like, well, whenever y'all send me my domain, then we could go ahead and set it off, man. But
I know y'all seen them. Come rock with us. The idea is we're gonna have them on the site, and also we'll be able to have them live at game too as well. So we want to be able to print up some for you guys and be able to, you know, get a few of them off for you out there as well, out there at the game. So pull up, Rocky 26 degrees, and cheer for your Canes, man. Don't forget Caneville as well, man.
Yeah,
Caneville, Footballville, all that.
Church Footballville. I got a whole bunch of craziness going on that is keeping me occupied. So
hey.
No more yachts for me this season.
Hey, but you had a good time, man. Look, good season.
I had a great off season, man. I had a great off season.
Boats and hoes.
Boats and hoes. But yeah, man.
Let's go.
Make sure y'all support, man, because we do this all. Give y'all opportunity to, you know what I'm saying, get information here and there. You know, we got a lot more coming, so stay tuned. The season here, man. Don't get scared now.
And don't be a fan later. It's 26 degrees. We up out of here, man. We'll holler at you.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.